right to your door. You can also hold precious metals in your IRA. This allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Your metals are held in the form of physical coins and bars in a private depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrighteonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial security. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals, in business since 1976. Visit BrighteonMetals.com today.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
The Sheriff Matt Show continues, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman, Operations Director, Vice President of Operations of the CSPOA. Sheriff Mack on the road training across the country, currently heading to the great state of Arkansas. In the meantime, I'll hold down the fort. How's that? I got a little quote for you from the Supreme Court case Wynn, where Sheriff Richard Mack, at the time a lowly sheriff in Arizona, Graham County, Arizona, mid-90s, literally took on Bill Clinton and beat him. Yeah, Sheriff Mack beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. And in that Supreme Court decision, Antonin Scalia wrote the, whatever you want to say, the prevailing decision. And here's what he basically articulated. I don't have the quote exactly in front of me. If you want to get a summary of that Supreme Court decision, go to CSPOA.org and you can order that. They're very inexpensive. Share them with your friends. It's the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in the history of America, by the way. But in that, Scalia articulates that there are dual sovereignties in America. There is the general government sovereignty, very limited in scope and defined by the Constitution. If it's in the list constitutionally, then hey, there's incredible sovereignty jurisdiction in the general government level for that very defined limited role we delegated to them. The states, on the other hand, equally sovereign in the dual sovereignty reality, have broad powers, broad authority, along with the people. So the idea that the general government, the federal government, can mandate the states do anything is absolutely bogus. The supremacy clause is dishonestly manipulated to make you believe they're supreme like the God clause. That's an absolute constitutional lie. The dual sovereignty doctrine is real. The states have absolute authority and power separate from your general government. Remember, the Declaration of Independence says government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. So we gave some consent to the federal government, very limited. Here's what you can do. If it's not in the list, you can't do it. And then we gave authority to the states as well. So remember that reality check from Antonin Scalia in Modern Times, because it's so critical, so vital to understand as we literally prevent government belligerent psychotic overreach. Well, speaking of a man who has taken on the general government and highlighted their abuses and overreach like nobody's business, I'd like to introduce our guest to you. His name is Ben Swan. He runs a company called Truth in Media, but he also runs a new what do you want to call it? A new broadcast service, a new media solution called Sovereign.media. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But Ben Swan is a graduate of Brigham Young University. He's been a well-known TV reporter. He's been known for Reality Check. He was a broadcaster live in Cincinnati for a long time. Then I think he went down to Atlanta for a long time. And now his videos are taking the globe by storm, at least those who can get to the internet, right? Ben, welcome back, my friend.
It's good to be on. It's been a long time since we've talked.
I say welcome back because I've had you on the radio before, even though, hey, you've never been on the Sheriff Mac show, but welcome as well. Let's talk a little bit about your career. You've been attacked quite vigorously over the years for Reality Check on through, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Go back about 10 years, and it started over 10 years ago, and it's just kind of been relentless since then. I remember the first attacks that I got happened to be surrounding war, right? They surrounded an interview I did with President Barack Obama, sitting president at the time, in which I questioned him about the constitutionality of his kill list. First reporter to ever ask him point blank about that kill list of whether or not it was constitutional. Questioned him about us funding Al-Qaeda in Syria at a time when no one was talking about the reality of that. In fact, a lot of folks claim that there was no Al-Qaeda in Syria, let alone the fact that the U.S. was funding it. Of course, we were funding that. We created ISIS through that same funding. And then questioned him, of course, about the fact that the claim that the Afghanistan war was going to come to an end under him wasn't happening, which obviously it didn't. It took another 10 years for that to actually come to an end. So it's been since that time, and I've gotten beat up. It takes a little while. You first go through the process of feeling like, wait a minute, am I doing something wrong here? Why am I getting hit from so many sides, especially from other journalists? That's the hardest part, I think. And then at a certain point when you realize it's all just a game, it's all a show game where everybody's pretending to be journalists and they're pretending to seek truth. But in fact, you know, it's a very small club of people who are controlling information. And the term that they use a lot now, disinformation, there's so much disinformation coming from corporate media, legacy media, politicians, Washington, D.C. It's just nuts. And now, of course, big tech. Big tech's a huge part of the disinformation machine.
As you've worked for, to some degree, the mainstream press, and you've discovered these journalists are just playing a game, how many of them are really playing the game with full knowledge versus how many do you think are playing the game knowing that they're not really reporting the whole story, but thinking they're justified in that? Meaning a lot of times we're told that, you know, you don't want to report this because you don't want to incite the people, or the CDC saying, well, we don't really want to report the information on vaccines because we don't want people to misconstrue. And, you know, at first you kind of accept those lies because, you know, like going to the military, you think, hey, I'm going for a worthy cause here, but then you end up being betrayed, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's a little different than the military in that a lot of these journalists, look, if you are talking about like local anchors, right? So working in New York, L.A., Atlanta, those folks don't really understand that it's all a game. They're just taking their cues from whatever happens on the national networks. So they see what the national anchors are saying. They see what the network folks are saying. And in the theory of kind of, you know, this person has made it to the top, right? This person's at the top of the mountain. Therefore, they know better than I do. There's an assumption, I think, that's made about that. And so there are folks who will look at that and say, well, okay, look, you know, if this person is on Meet the Press, if this person works for CNN at the network level, this person works for CBS at the network level, they must be smarter than I am, or they must be more talented, or they must have more information. So we take our cues that way. I never did take my cues. That's one reason I always had problems, is I would say, you know, as a journalist in Atlanta, I don't care if I'm in Atlanta, I'm going to question whatever I'm seeing, right? I'm going to question the Syrian so-called civil war. I'm going to question the fact that there's a supposedly 8-year-old girl tweeting out in perfect English from Aleppo, where there's no power and no internet, and yet somehow she's sending out these messages to the world to come bomb Aleppo and drive out the Syrian army, right? And so you start to question narratives, and folks at the network don't do that. Now, if you're on the network, a lot of the folks who were there, I think they do know. They have sources in the Pentagon. They have sources in the CIA and that deep state apparatus, and they want access. And they know that if they don't toe the line, they won't have access, right? They'll get kicked out of those White House briefing rooms, or they'll be removed from being a source for the Pentagon. And so a great example of this, you know, all these stories about the biolabs, I know we're going to talk about this more later, but these stories about the biolabs in Ukraine right now, it was so interesting that as soon as this story started to break, it's been about 2 weeks being debunked supposedly by social media and big tech companies. Then you turn around and say, well, it was being debunked there. Well,
and even by the mainstream press, though, debunking that there was labs there. They all went along, right?
They all went along with it, right? It's that there's nothing here. In fact, literally, even since Victoria Nuland's statement under oath to Marco Rubio that there are biolabs there, since we started doing our reporting, Facebook is still slapping a sticker on our report saying, debunked, there are no biolabs in Ukraine. Completely untrue, right? But even beyond that, the moment this story started to break with Victoria Nuland, all of a sudden the Pentagon put out some talking points saying, oh, okay, well, hold on. It's not what you think it is. The truth is, it's just that these are old Soviet-era biolabs, and we're cleaning them up, right? We're getting rid of stuff that's in them. And we've been doing this work since basically 1995. That's how long that the U.S. has been over there cleaning up these biolabs. And so that's what the story really is. And you had all these reporters who went out and reported it and parroted what the Pentagon said without verifying any of it, right? And so what's interesting about that is even like, you know, Fox News is out there parroting this, right? And Jennifer Griffin, somebody sent me her report and said, debunked. I'm like, this isn't debunked. She literally reads a fact sheet from the Pentagon and doesn't check it against the fact that, for instance, in 2010, there's an article about, under the Obama administration, the building of a brand new level 3 bio lab that would be used to study dangerous pathogens. This is a story from 2010, by the way. National Post was able to find it, and it was being deleted from the internet, right? So that Google's going through its process of deleting old entries so that folks can't find exactly what was created at the time. But again, that was 2010. So we're talking about over 15 years after the U.S. supposedly started helping clean up Soviet biolabs. We were building a biolab there, a level 3 biolab. Keep in mind, we're talking about, you know, the levels of biolabs. The Wuhan lab in China is a level 4. So you're only one level away from that level 4 biolab in Wuhan in what was being built in Ukraine. But these reporters don't even bother to check this. They just go out and parrot whatever their kind of government handler tells them to.
But I also question, too, when you say the government, the Pentagon says these are old Soviet Union labs and our goal is to either dismantle them or turn them into friendly labs or whatever they want to pretend it is. Ben, how long has that been? In other words, are we talking 20 plus years or what? When do we claim that we started being the good guys on this?
Right. Well, and here's the problem with it. So you're talking about almost 30 years, really. Almost 30 years that you claim.
Yeah, you've been cleaning it takes that long to disassemble those things, right, Ben?
Exactly. How long does it take to get rid of this stuff, number one? Number two, you know, if you look at the pathogens that are inside, so we're actually releasing a report on Thursday where I've gone through the documents that were released by the Russian Ministry of Defense where they've cataloged the vials, the number of vials and what was in them. And so we've gotten all these documents translated so we can go through them and look at them. But it includes things like plague and anthrax and E. coli. And you go kind of down the list of all the different vials that are there. Why are they there? Right. And then one of the excuses that's been used is, well, you know, scientists will scientist, and meaning that they don't like to throw stuff away. They like to study it. Listen, that still doesn't explain why taxpayers are funding the building of new labs. If the goal is to simply eradicate these existing pathogens that were from the Soviet era, why are you building new labs? And then lastly, I'd say this, that even as that happens, let's be honest, we know that for the past at least two decades, the U.S. government has been involved in the study and the gain-of-function research that led to COVID-19. There's no question about that. The paper trail on that, I've been reporting on that for over 2 years. The paper trail on that is incredibly clear and becomes more clear every day. Now, no one's talking about it right now. We've changed the subject. But the reality is that we know the U.S. has done that through research laboratories in the United States. We know that it started with universities in the United States. And then in 2014, when it became illegal in the United States, we offshored that research to other countries. We knew it was happening in China. We've known it's happening in other countries. It appears that similar types of research was being done in Ukraine because there is an entire section in these documents about bat coronaviruses that were being studied, very similar research to what was being done in Wuhan.
Ladies and gentlemen, and then you got to ask this question. If the labs are so innocent, if we were really, taking down and dismantling and or repurposing for peaceful purposes these labs that are Soviet Union-esque and the origins are really Russia, why 30 years? But furthermore, though, why lie and say they don't even exist? until we prove they do. Ben?
I think that's, for me, that's the biggest part of the story, right? If you are honest and you say, listen, no, there are biolabs there, but people are blowing them out of proportion when these stories first come up. And you say, you know, these are old Soviet labs and we can explain this to you. That's fine, right? You can start from the beginning. Even if you're lying, if you start from the beginning, from the original lie, if that lie makes sense. What doesn't make sense is to literally scrub people from the internet. Twitter was going through the process of banning users for pointing out biolabs at all. They weren't allowed to do it. Fact checkers, PolitiFact, USA Today, releasing their so-called fact check saying there are none, zero, no biolabs. This story is fake Russian propaganda and Russian disinformation. This is what they were saying. So when the liar
or they would say, Ben, conspiracy theorists in America were peddling fake news who should be deplatformed.
Yes.
Right.
You need to be removed. Get them off because they're Putin's disinformation machine. But then when you prove that they were wrong and they were lying, number one, under the guise of fact checking, USA Today should be banned from Facebook. PolitiFact should be banned from Facebook because they have now engaged in disinformation. Right. They haven't even issued, by the way, that I have seen, those two companies and those two sites have not issued retractions of their fact checks. Those fact checks are still floating around as if they are true. And yet they've been provably untrue from the Deputy Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland. She has proven that there are, in fact, biolabs in that country. And then they say, oh, well, yeah, they're here. Oh, you meant biolabs. We thought you were saying something else. Yeah, biolabs are here. This is what they're used for. And so when you're caught in such an egregious lie, and then you say, well, I have a simple answer for that. You don't have, to your point, Sam, you don't have a simple answer as to why you were lying about it in the first place. If you were lying about it in the first place, I can't just accept at face value your simple exclamation. And that's why when people like Jennifer Griffin from Fox, who come out within hours and starts immediately, you know, reading from this Pentagon fact sheet as if it is gospel, that's hugely problematic as a journalist because you're saying, wait a minute, why are you taking their word for it when they were already dishonest with you in the first place?
Not only were they dishonest with you in the first place, not only did they lie and got caught, not only is it questionable of how long it would take to disassemble these labs, not only is it questionable about if it was on the up and up, why would you lie and pretend in the first place? But it goes to another level, though, Ben, when you start to say guys like Ben Swan, guys like Sam Bushman are dishonest, they're conspiracy theorists, they need to be deplatformed, they're involved in disinformation campaigns, they're literally a domestic threat to the nation. That's a whole nother level, sir.
Well, it absolutely is. And the end game here is to ultimately purge every single voice from these platforms, but to remove them from all spaces, right? So it's not that just that Facebook says, well, we're a private platform and we want to clean up our platform. No, they don't. They don't. They want to scrub every voice from Facebook, from Twitter, from YouTube. They want to scrub search results from Google. AWS wants to remove websites that don't toe this line, right? They're going to remove you from their servers. GoDaddy wants to disconnect your DNS so that nobody can find you when they search for you. The goal is not simply to remove you from social media. It's to purge you from all ability to communicate, right? That's what the goal is right now. It's and we can talk about this, you know, coming up, but that's why we built our platform. You were looking for a word to describe our new platform, sovereign.media. It's a social media platform is what it really is, but it's also a premium video and blockchain-based platform to be able to take content and store it so that it has a permanent record, so that it cannot be removed and it cannot be deleted, because that is essentially the goal of big tech right now, is we're not only going to remove you from active speech, we're going to purge your memory. It's like the 1984 novel, throw you down the memory hole so that you no longer exist in the minds of Americans or people around the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, think how sinister that is. Now, it's one thing for them to debate about facts. In other words, I have this narrative, and then they say, well, we have an alternative truth here, Sam. It's, you know, you're quoting facts, but here's the whole story. Or a lot of times what they try to do is they say, this in a fact check is, well, we need to add context so that you understand the story. Ladies and gentlemen, what about when they lie about the facts, they get completely caught, and the narrative is completely 180 degrees separate. And we find out government officials in bed with big media were the ones who perpetuated the fraud. At what point and how do we create accountability for this? People should be going to prison for these lies.
Well, they should be going to prison for these lies. Listen, the comment you just made about people who are in government in bed with these companies, right, whether it's big media or it's big tech, working together to create narratives. We talk about what happened on January 6th, right? And so January 6th has become almost a hot button where very few people even want to talk about it anymore because it's so tainted, right? And the punishment doled out to trespassers at the Capitol has been incredibly severe. The idea that, you know, Project Veritas just did this honey trap, essentially is what it was, where they caught one of their reporters bragging about the fact that, yeah, we know there were a ton of feds, he says, in the crowd. Listen, I'm sure you guys have talked about this a lot on your show. There's no question, absolutely no question that there was federal law enforcement involvement and there was the enticing and inciting of the crowd. There's no question that this Ray Epps guy is somehow involved. I don't know exactly what the extent of his involvement is, but there's no question that he's involved because he hasn't been charged with anything, right? You got people who are being...
Well, because the Justice Department and the FBI will not tell the truth to the congressional investigators.
Right. And the congressional investigators are not demanding the truth. If they wanted
this is what I mean by their criminal, though. When you literally say, hey, we're the Justice Department of the FBI, and we're going to basically not deliver the truth to you. It turns out that Jenny Thomas, literally the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, turns out she was at the Trump rally. You find that out, what, 14 months later, Ben?
Right, right. And what you find also is that, again, you have people like this guy who unfortunately killed himself recently, who was facing up to 7 years. He didn't attack anyone. There was no violence. He was basically standing in a crowd, kind of got pushed into the Capitol. And by the way, I was there on January 6th interviewing people outside. I did not go into the Capitol, so don't come get me. But there's video of me the entire day. But we were outside the Capitol, and we were recording. And there were a lot of people coming out afterwards, and I was talking to them about what happened. And a number of them told me, listen, we were up there at the front, and there's a crowd behind us just kind of pushing. And we kind of got pushed into the building. We didn't do anything once we were in there. We just kind of funneled through like almost like a maze and then came out some other doors on the side. And then we were out of the building, right? And so as they described this, it was very similar to the story I heard about this guy who ultimately killed himself, where he didn't necessarily even try to get in. He just was up in that crowd. He got pushed in. And then once you're in, you kind of have – you can't go backwards. There's too many people behind you. So he kind of went through the building and then went out a door. They had no evidence of him doing anything criminal other than trespass and disrupting an official proceeding. And he was facing 7 years in prison for that. We have this concept, as you're well aware, Sam, of cruel and unusual punishment, right? The punishment here not fitting the crime. The crime is trespassing and disrupting an official proceeding, which, by the way, activists had recently done, BLM activists had recently done in a number of state houses, and some pro-choice activists had done at the U.S. Capitol even recently. They didn't face anything like that. They didn't face any criminal charges at all. So,
when it came to Seattle, they literally ran out the cops from the police department, even to that level, Ben.
Yeah, they did. And so the idea here that there's an unequal appropriation of justice here. There's an unequal appropriation of the law. So that some people are facing these incredible sentences, these incredible punishments as a result of this. And so, but then when you listen, I've been reporting on this issue of feds involved in, these kinds of situations for over 10 years. If you go back to 2001 after 9/11, when the FBI really ramped up its efforts for anti-terrorism, and you look at domestically what they've done, about one-third, about 30% of all between, by the way, this is 2001 to 2012-ish. If you look at all those cases, one-third of them involved some kind of FBI informant who was the one who hatched the so-called plot that was ultimately broken up. 30%, 33% of all of your cases hinge on an informant who's the one who births the idea, finds somebody, convinces them to take part, and then ultimately is the one responsible for the money, responsible for the weapon, whether it's a bomb, that's really the fake bomb, whatever it might be. And so, for instance, there's this case out of Ohio. People may or may not remember. There were a group of anarchists called,
Hey, Ben, hang tight. We'll let you tell everyone about the anarchists in seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Swan with me, well-known for truthinmedia.com, well-known for Reality Check, and also known for this incredible new social media platform, sovereign.media. More in seconds on the Sheriff Mac Show.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shells.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them. Individually, I'm coming after you. Every one of them I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. They can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panicked. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
Have you noticed there's something very wrong with the modern-day man?
Are you a beta male?
I don't think so.
Beta!
Sperm counts are cratering.
Maybe it's male.
0% by 2050. But help is on the way. Keys to Life.shop has products which are making men, men again. Banned by the NFL, PGA, and the NCAA. Too manly. Clinically proven to raise IGF-1 levels. Man up. Take off the dress. Visit Keys to Life.shop. Get your manhood back today.
I am indeed Sam Bushman with Ben Swan, well-known TV reporter, Cincinnati, for a long time. Then he went down to Georgia. The devil went down to Georgia, but with Ben there, the devil didn't stick around, ladies and gentlemen. Just thought I'd tell you that. The truth in media is key. Ben, well-known for truth in media, and also known for the new social media solution, sovereign.media. And Ben, right before the pause, you were basically talking about these truths about the U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine, mixed with the January 6th discussion. The bottom line is the FBI and the Justice Department literally at the center of the fraud every time, it seems like.
They are. They're at the center of the fraud over and over, and it's, again, the same story. Listen, this story of what's happening in Ukraine right now in these biolabs is not the center of the story about Ukraine, right? And even if the Russian government were to tell you it is, they didn't go there over biolabs. However, what I think they represent in what's happening in Ukraine is the complicity of our government to take advantage of a place like Ukraine, right? And so we're setting up biolabs and we're funding those biolabs to do whatever we want, because you can basically run amok in that country, right? We completely control the government. They have this clown president, who's a former actor who played the president on TV before he even came in. You see all the pictures of him now, and he only wears khakis and he only wears like fatigues to look like he's a soldier. But you know, he's wearing this outfit and walking around doing selfies the whole time, right? He's not a soldier, but it's all for show. It's all this image. That doesn't mean that Russia going into Ukraine is a justified international move. The problem is that when the story's being sold in a way, you know my work, Sam, for nearly 20 years now, I've been reporting on fraud in war. And I've reported on what we were doing in Iraq and what we've done in Afghanistan and what we've done in Libya in overthrowing Libya and turning it from an actually emerging country in Africa into an absolute hellhole where you can still buy someone on the street now for $40. You can buy a human being at a slave market. They've opened slave markets in Libya again, thanks to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama because of their policies. What they tried to do in Syria, which was to create the exact same thing in the execution of Christians, Jews, and Alawites in Syria, the only place in the Middle East at the time where Christians and Jews and Alawites were allowed to live without persecution, and the U.S. went there to actively destroy that and turn it over to the most violent and radical groups of Muslim terrorists in ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And so what we're seeing over and over is the same playbook running out over and over and over again. And so when these people come to you now all of a sudden, and they've all got a Ukraine flag up as their profile picture, and suddenly the American people deeply and passionately care about war. If you deeply and passionately care about war right now, you got to say something about what's happening in Yemen, the worst genocide in the world right now, the worst genocide in the world carried out by the Saudis, who were destroying, not only bombing people, but destroying all of the infrastructure there, the water infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure, the heating and electrical infrastructure, destroying everything there. There are people starving to death and literally eating bark off of trees, and the mainstream media in this country, social media in this country, and the woke left that cares so much about Ukraine says nothing, not a word about that genocide. So if you're going to care about war, which I do, I genuinely am against most war. I think most war that we see around the world is completely unjustified. But if you believe that, then the rights of human beings to not be exterminated in war extends to everyone, whether they're in Ukraine or they're in Yemen or they're in Syria or they're in Libya or they're in Iraq or Afghanistan or Somalia, doesn't matter. And our media is silent on those other wars.
Oh, I'm sorry. The other thing is you look at, say, World War II, and you look at the situation there, and no doubt there were many evils done. But they ignore Holodomor as well. They act like one is the cat's meow to discuss every day. And if you ever say the narrative isn't accurate, you're somehow a racist. But yet, what about Holodomor? And so we lie in history and we lie modern times as well. And speaking of Saudi Arabia, new headline from USA Today says this: newly released FBI documents link Saudi spy in California to 9/11 attacks. 50-50 chance he knew of terror plot before it happened. That's USA Today. And the story goes on to say this, Ben. The alleged aviation official was really a Saudi spy who reported directly to a Saudi prince that was an influential ambassador in Washington and a close friend of then President George W. Bush and other top U.S. government officials. The intelligence officials now at the FBI and the Justice Department concluded this back in 2017. So they literally studied it from 2001 to 2017. They knew this California-based Saudi spy, guys by the name of Omar al-Bayomi, not only helped several 9/11 hijackers to find housing in San Diego, but also that there was a 50-50 chance that he had advanced knowledge of their involvement. Well, the top FBI leaders and Justice Department officials had this information but kept it secret, refusing to even tell congressional investigators, didn't tell the 9/11 commission, and withheld it from more than 10,000 American citizens who had signed on to a massive federal class action lawsuit that seeks to hold Saudi officials responsible and tie them to the 9/11 reality. This just came out today in USA Today, in all kinds of news outlets around the world. What the heck is going on, Ben?
You So I have not seen this story yet, but it's not terribly surprising. I've been reporting for a long time on the Saudi connection to 9/11 and even the Saudi royal family's connection. But we know, if you look back for what we already knew that there was an incredible amount of support for those Saudi hijackers. We knew that those Saudi hijackers, remember there was a case where one of them was staying in Florida. There was a family in Florida connected to the royal family that left that day, right, and left an entire house full of clothing, all of their belongings. They just literally got on a plane and flew back to Saudi Arabia. I think it was on September 10th, the day before the actual attacks took place. And so we know that there is this connection. The U.S. government has been hiding this connection for years, refusing to allow it to come out, hiding documents, keeping them redacted. In the court system, as you mentioned, these 10,000 family members who have been arguing that they have a right to see how much there was involvement. We know the Saudis were involved. What's so incredible, as people forget, is, you know, of course, the Iraq war was all based on lies of weapons of mass destruction, lies that Saddam Hussein was supporting al-Qaeda and giving them safe haven, which was untrue. In fact, he was our number one informant on al-Qaeda through Washington, D.C., was Saddam Hussein. And yet we went to war in Afghanistan. We went to war in Iraq. Why? Because Saudi hijackers got on planes and flew them into buildings here in the United States. And Saudi Arabia has never been held responsible for that. And even in the meantime, over the next 20 years, what would happen? Not only would the Saudis not be held responsible, but they have moved from being this oil-based economy to try to become a tech-based economy and are buying up enormous swaths of U.S. media tech companies through their sovereign fund. And so the reality is that Twitter, Facebook, all these companies have huge ownership stakes now by the Saudi royal family. So in the 20 years, not only has there not been justice to find out exactly what that Saudi connection was, but we've allowed the Saudis to come in and gain a much stronger control over media in this country.
Now, Ben, Ron Paul, back in the day as a congressman, right after 9/11 happened, right after 2001, literally said, hey, the Saudis are responsible for this. And they literally mocked and ridiculed him. They didn't use the term fake news because, hey, that wasn't kind of the narrative. But they said he's goofy. He's just, you know, Ron Paul over there by the popsicle stand and goofy. But he knew this right from the start. What took the FBI and the Justice Department so long? I have a feeling if you really were to dig, you'd find out even 5 years ago when they knew this and withheld it from the Justice Department and the FBI. They've been lying even on that. I bet they knew a whole lot longer. All they had to do is ask Ron Paul. He publicly stated it on more than one occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, this goes back to what you were referring to earlier as being criminal behavior, right? This is criminal behavior. For them to have this knowledge and to not come forward with it. But the question becomes, what is the consequence for it? There is no consequence for agents who withhold this kind of information. There's no consequence for anyone who led us into these wars and carried them out under false pretenses. There is no consequence for anyone involved. In fact, those same folks, all they have to do is walk out today, like George W. Bush, and virtue signal and say, hey, we're against the what's happening in Ukraine, and by the way, we're for BLM, Black Lives Matter, and they just pretend to be a little woke and have some virtue signaling, and all of a sudden the media doesn't care about them. The Justice Department doesn't care about them. Why? Because our Justice Department, Sam, as you know, is so unbelievably compromised. It is a political weapon now. It is only used to bludgeon political enemies. It's not involved in justice whatsoever.
All this global mayhem, ladies and gentlemen, to me points to one thing. They have a desire to dismantle the greatest country on the face of the earth. So now Biden banning Russian oil, all these different events that you're seeing are not by accident. The goal is the Great Reset in motion. You did a video about this, but I think all these things tie to that narrative, Ben.
Yeah, they really do. I think if you step back for a minute, you have to step away from all the headlines, right? Because the headlines will get you every time. They'll make you think that we're constantly in a state of crisis. This is a new emergency. Let's just get past this one. We can just get past this crisis, this emergency, we'll be fine. Here's the problem is that right now we are in a situation where what we're looking at is a constant set of created crises that are not as bad as they would have to be. So, for instance, what's happening in Ukraine today should not be impacting us here in the United States, lest our leaders decide that it must impact us in some way. And so they begin to shift things like we're not going to buy Russian oil. Now, Russian oil only accounts for about 10% of our oil supply. It's not very much. We buy about 580,000 barrels a day from Russia. It's not a huge amount. The problem is that when you start talking about a speculative market like the oil market, and you say we're cutting off Russian oil, it doesn't hurt the Russians. The Russians have already sold that oil. It's going to China. It's going to India. Right? There are enormous markets for them. Vladimir Putin doesn't need the United States to buy his oil. What we are doing is we're actually driving up the price of the oil by not buying it and trying to encourage Europeans not to buy it. So we're bringing up the price, which actually is better for him. If you're really against Putin, you'd want to lower the price of oil by making it cheaper. But the other thing that we're doing is we're hurting our own people. So the people who will hurt in the United States, middle class people and lower class people in this country who struggle to pay their bills, those are the people who hurt when gas hits $4 a gallon, $5 a gallon, $7 a gallon, $10 a gallon is where it's probably headed. And so when that begins to happen, it has this enormous effect on our population. But we've seen this for the last 2 years during COVID, another so-called crisis that wasn't a crisis. Yes, I believe COVID absolutely, of course, was real. It's a real virus. But was it a virus that required the shutting down of society? Absolutely not. In fact, the one thing it proved was that over the last 2 years, I'm not vaccinated, by the way. I never got it. Everyone in my family is unvaccinated. They all got it. I was the only one who didn't. There's something in me where I guess I just don't contract it. But the fact is, they got sick.
Well, or maybe you got it and you were asymptomatic. Who knows, right?
What's that?
Maybe you got it, but you were asymptomatic. Who knows?
Actually, I'm not even asymptomatic. So I have one son who was, because we were tested regularly during that time. One son who was asymptomatic, he had no symptoms, but I actually couldn't contract it. So I have talked to a couple of doctors, this is a side note, but who say there's a very, very small portion of the population that can't contract it at all. They just don't get it. But that aside, I know, it's kind of interesting. But that aside, but the point is that in our reality, in my reality, the reality of my family, COVID was not a big deal, right? We were able to recover. That doesn't mean it wasn't for some people. There is a small percentage of the population that actually got sick from COVID and may have actually died as a result of it, right? People with
I got so sick, I almost died and went to the hospital twice. It was super bad, but I've had COVID 3 times. One time was super bad, almost died, but I'm still not vaccinated and never will be if I'm left to my own choice.
Right. And again, so in your case, it was bad, right? So it's absolutely there. But is this a virus that required the shutting down? Absolutely not. Every
not
single
maybe.
Step taken in this process was taken in order to reset our society, to reset the rules. And it's been done. The same thing happened in Canada with the truckers, right? Another crisis that now all of a sudden the government used to reset the rules, violate rule of law, go around the rule. And that's why I love what you guys do at CSPOA is really this constitutional view of how do we go back to our Constitution, because rule of law is the only thing that keeps order. Otherwise, you have these insane people who simply run amok and decide that they will not be subjected to any kind of rules or law, and therefore they can do anything they want whenever they want.
One last quick point on the Russian oil. So if you guys go to Truth and Media or you go to sovereign.media, Biden bans Russian oil, the Great Reset in Motion. It's one thing to ban that oil from Russia, and I agree it's not a huge percentage, but the ramifications are huge. But also, though, what Biden did was reverse Trump decisions, which means that we can't even produce our own energy. That, to me, is the greater reset hostility towards we the people in America, Ben.
Oh, the goal here is to force you to no longer be able to afford gasoline. That's what they're trying to do. And so, again, if you're looking at this from a strategic war effort, you would not say, we're going to stop buying oil so we don't fund Putin's war machine. You would say, we're going to start vastly pumping out oil to bring down the price of oil to hurt Putin's war machine, because then he can't afford it, because gas drops to $2 a gallon like it was under Trump, or $1.80 a gallon like it was under Trump. It was only 2 years ago. We're not talking about going back to prices of 40 or 50 years ago. Let's get it back to prices that they were at 2 years ago. And you could absolutely do that. So it shows how disingenuous they are.
And it shows how all things lead to this intended agenda. You know, if there were one or two things along the way, you could say it was by accident. But when you see repeated abuses over decades that all point to the intentional destruction of the United States of America and our way of life, it becomes beyond a pattern for sure. Now, Ben Swan is doing a whole lot, ladies and gentlemen, in his incredible reality check videos and everything that he's doing. But he even got together with some people and put together a new social media solution, Sovereign.media. Tell us about it, Ben.
Absolutely. So Sovereign.media, you got to think of it as kind of one part Facebook and one part YouTube. One of the things that we've seen recently, there are a lot of folks who are creating kind of alternatives to YouTube, which is great because we need these video solutions. So, Rideon is one of those, certainly Rumble is one of those, and you create these systems. But one of the things that we saw that was lacking is the social part of social media isn't there anymore. The one thing that Facebook, I'll give Facebook credit, one thing Facebook did really, really well was when they created Facebook groups. Groups were a really good way of people being able to organize, activate, communicate with each other, share information with like-minded people about like-minded subjects. But that's all gone. Like, Facebook has absolutely purged the ranks and removed anyone who's a part of a group that has any real meaning to it. So vaccine injured groups have all been thrown off. Folks who even talk about these trucker protests, they were all removed over and over, right? If you want to protest their BLM, you can use it. If you want to protest vaccines, you can't. And so what we've done is we've created something called Sovereign Circles, and it is that same groups feature. It's up and it's live right now. Folks can use that. We have content creators who are coming over every day and placing their content, but we have a social feed there, and it allows for people to interact with each other. And I am excited to tell you, too, that we are launching within the next 60 days a partnership with the world's most secure private messenger. And you will be able to have that function built directly into your social feed where you can privately message without. These are end-to-end encrypted, not stored on servers in the United States, not stored on servers anywhere. They're completely purged. And it's the most secure system out there. So we believe strongly in privacy. We believe strongly that big tech should not be reading everything that you post and that you should not be cataloged, followed, and algorithmed out of your own voice. And so we are creating a solution that pushes back against that. And everything we're doing is blockchain-based in order to create a permanent record, as I said, of content and a permanent record of information, because every day big tech is working to erase our history, long-term history and the short-term. They're erasing things that were said just 2 years ago because they want to rewrite the narratives day after day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sovereign.media is the organization. Now, who's involved with you on this? Is Dell Bigtree involved?
So Dell Bigtree has not come over yet. We're working with Dell to come over, but we are talking to him. We've had some conversations with him. You know, what we're really trying to do at this point, because we're not on the blockchain, is we're finishing up that part of it. And once that's up, we have a lot of interest from different folks about coming over and being able to save and preserve their content so that it remains. There's a permanent record of it.
Go ahead, Ben.
Well, I was just going to say, we haven't really pushed yet to bring a lot of people over yet because we're not on block.
602-610-1566. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much going on in the news, it's about impossible to tell you all about it. I'm telling you, there's just so much news. But you look at the incredible work that people are doing. I'm talking the leaders at Brighteon. You're talking Ben Swan. There's just so many great people taking on the mainstream press like never before, and I'm delighted to be part of it and thank them all. Sheriff Mack on the road. I'm holding down the fort. Check out the Sheriff's Posse later today at CSPOA.org. And God bless and God save the Republic of the United States of America. CSPOA.org.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Final minute in the broadcast. Again, it's adapting formats, radio and TV. We're doing the very best we can. But thank you so much for your understanding. Thank you so much for all your support out there in the public. We appreciate you. Fund us, if you will. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We could use all the support we can get. I'll tell you that right now. We talked about the newly released FBI documents, which literally document a Saudi spy with a Saudi prince tied directly to George Bush for the 9/11 attacks. The FBI and the Justice Department literally covered it up and got caught. Now declassified information finger these people. It's all in the USA Today, ladies and gentlemen. While that's going on, the U.S. literally doing everything they can to create war. The U.S. warned China that it will face consequences if it backs Russia in the Ukraine fiasco. So now we're going to threaten Russia. We're going to threaten China. That's a wise thing to do. Stupid as all get out. Government schools got record federal money to the point where they don't even know how to spend it all. All right, ladies and gentlemen. In Seattle, it's so bad. Amazon had to temporarily close one of their offices because of the violence in Seattle. Senator Rand Paul pushing for an amendment to get rid of Anthony Fauci. Amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Swan doing a phenomenal job breaking things down about the U.S.-funded biolabs in the Ukraine and talking about Biden banning Russian oil and pushing for a great reset around the world, which is in motion. Ladies and gentlemen, the new social media solution from Ben Swan, sovereign.media. Check it out. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, Brighteon.tv, BrighteonRadio.com. Fund us all. Support our efforts. It takes a lot of money to get all this stuff done, folks. So we're grateful for you. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.